Well, I desire your prayers tonight. My thought is, does this offend you? And then, I'm going to highlight that. Because I think we all have a this. I'd like to start in Ecclesiastes. Twelfth chapter. I believe that Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, who looked at it all. I believe he had a desire to know, to experience, to find out the meanings of life and what everything was about. And you read all through that, you'll see that there was a great extent to go out to try to find those things. He had more resources than we have. Try to do that. He sought in all of the ways that there was to find it. To say, does this bring fulfillment? Would this make a person happy? Or is it enduring? You know, you can get a hold of some things sometimes and think this is enduring. Now, I like this. I do this every once in a while. I think, boy, I really enjoyed that. I'll do it again. Next time I do it, you can't recapture the moment. You ever try that? Just, and then maybe you try again, and then before long you throw it didn't do what you thought, what that excited, whatever, it don't happen. We've all experienced those kind of things. Solomon had the resources. He looked into things. He saw it all, and he said something at the end of all of it. 13th verse says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. All of it? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter, the whole point of man. He looked at it and said, what could it all be about? How high can we get? What can we fulfill? How enduring can we be? What really does it make that if I end up with my name on a road sign somewhere? I mean, honestly, people look for immortality. They look for something that's going to endure. The ancient people made great monuments to say, let people know they existed. Yes. What difference does it make when you go? But Solomon had a conclusion about all of this. And folks, it isn't any different really to us now. The conclusion's still the same. It isn't about me. I don't know how much you think about these things. And if you're young, you don't think much. And if you get middle-aged, you think more. And I think as you get older, you think more. That my time's running out. And of all the times that we say and we look at somebody else that's left this world, somebody's passed away, I know that if the Lord tarries, it's going to be me. Think about it quite often that I'll bury you, you'll bury me. We're going to look down on one another somewhere. So there's got to be a conclusion. More than trying to obtain something here, or be something here, or get some kind of a status or something like that. Surely it's got to be more than that. Solomon had all those things. He was a king. We still 1,000 years later talking about old Solomon, but he didn't say that. He didn't say that it mattered that we would. The real important thing is that somebody reads about you over the hundreds. No, none of that. But fear God. To fear God and to keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. All right, over in Matthew, the 11th chapter. I'll start with the first verse. It says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? I don't know, I kind of feel sorry for old John. He had a mission. And he come to fulfill that mission, but I think at this time, there must have been something going on with him. Well, he's in prison. Sends his disciples and saying, go ask him, are you really him? Could there have been a little place there that I've given all? I put everything into this. I've stood in the face of my this. I've stood in the face of my problems, my persecutions. I've stood like a tree. I stood strong. I stood there. But I need some reinforcement. I need to know something here. That's what I feel about this situation. If you'll give me that liberty, that I've been in places. Have you been in places? I've been in places that I felt like that I said, I'm willing to give it all. Okay? But Lord, I need to know that's what you want. I love the church, but folks, it isn't enough for me. The history's not enough for me. There's been times that I got into it, and I needed that persuasion from the Lord Himself for my heart. I know everybody else can say, and I appreciate all the enthusiasm. I appreciate all the words. I appreciate all that. But I've got into places before where I had to find, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. I'm willing to go all the way. But I need to know that it's you in this. I need to have something from you beyond me, beyond history, beyond words, beyond our culture, beyond just the things that I need something from God. I think that's where he was at. I've laid it down on the line. And now I'm in this place. And oh, I couldn't hardly imagine being in a place like that. Because give me a few minutes just to sit and think. Those are always some of the hardest times. Endless thinking, endless meditation. Those endless things. And now he's there wondering maybe about this, I think. Should we look, are you it? Or should we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Now you notice that he didn't say, just go tell him I am. John, I'm repeating it to you. You know in your heart. You know what the scripture says. I'm going to reinforce you, John. I'm going to reinforce you. You go tell him what works I'm doing. And John will understand the language. Just go tell him what you see and know and understand. And he'll know. He'll understand that the blind are seeing. That the dead are being raised. That the works of God are being done. That's what John needs. You go tell him. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Go tell John that, because he needs some courage right now. He needs that thing that's going to sustain him. But I want to focus a minute on this scripture. I think it's important for every one of us. It's been a scripture that has I have pondered and been amazed at. And he said to John, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Why did he say that to John? Blessed. I'm going to tell you what I think this means. Why was John in prison? Because he stood up. That's why. That's why he done it. He stood up against the king. And when it come right down to it and truth, I'm going to tell you, truth is important. We ought to love the truth. Not agendas. Not side notes. Not all this. We should love the truth. I believe John loved the truth. And when he come up to have to face the truth, and he had to say something, he told the truth. He didn't wither away. He told the truth. And he told him exactly where he was at. And he told the king, you're wrong in doing this. That's why he's in prison. He done it for God. He done it for truth. He done it for the Lord. Now, what did you expect from the Lord if you do His will? What do you expect? You expect the blessing. You expect something, don't you? John no doubt expected something. He expected God to be at his rescue, to deliver. He asked him, I don't have to worry. I'm doing the will of God. I'm standing. And the Lord's going to be here to defend me. But you know what the Lord said to him? John, John, I'm him. Look at the evidences that you know. I'm him. But John, I'm not coming and getting you. Do you know that? We think, I'm living for God. I'm standing for the truth. Lord, come get me. Get me out of prison so that I continue a lifelong labor for you. Then I can do other works. John, I'm him, but I ain't coming to get you. And blessed is that man that's not offended in me, because of me, of me. My way. You'll be blessed if you won't be offended by the this. Because, John, this is your this. This is your this. This is the thing that you're up against. This is where you feel like God ought to do something and God don't do it. Have you ever thought that God ought to do something and He don't do it? I've been in places to where I thought this is the way God ought to have. This is the glory. This is the way the witness would be better. This is the whole thing. And I find myself disappointed and it don't happen. John, blessed is the one that's not offended in my work and what I choose to be best. You'll be blessed, John. He had to encourage John. I believe in that. That's why I think he said those words. You know, I noticed several times in the course of this past year, at least twice, but I'm fairly sure that it happened three times. At different meetings that I was at a certain time, someone would start off in this song. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. And the congregation would begin to sing that, and there would be a great, you could feel God's Spirit blessing in that moment. There was a great power, it seemed like, that would kind of come. If you've ever been there, maybe some of you was in those different meetings to where those would go and would sit there and listen to that and understand what it was about, and it would be so blessed. It would be an encouragement to go on through our battles. It'd be an understanding comes that God's right. That song isn't cheap. This one was bought. All right? Now, I know we probably all heard the story, but I think it's worth telling a little bit of it again. I think the man's name was Horatio Spafford. The man had wealth. He had family, the best I remember the story. And things began to happen in his life. He was a devout man. And you can look and say, the blessings of God was upon him. But God began to do things or allow things in this man's life. I think, if I remember right, early on, I think he had a son that died. It was a grief to him. Then, if I'm not mistaken, his properties was all burned in the Chicago fire. He lost the great, vast wealth that he had acquired that was gone in a moment. It was burned away. Then, to top that off, not long after that, his daughters. Now, as being someone that has children, I'm touched in my heart and hardly know how a person could get through something. That's devastating. All the properties to me, yeah, I could probably fairly easily say I'm talking as one that hasn't done it. Okay. But I think I could say, oh well, it was just property. But my emotions wouldn't do that with my children. And he lost his children. We all know this story. Oh, as they was going to Europe, the ship went down. I think his wife was spared, but the children, his daughters, drowned. And when he looked into the place of where his daughters are drowned, this is what we get from that. Don't be offended in me. The Lord said to John, this is your this. Folks, we're all going to have this. You're going to have your this. You're going to have your challenge. And the burden that I have on my heart is, I think the Lord wants to get to us that it's got to be this way. My little children, I want you to know, it's got to be this way. It isn't something that God rolls a dice on. There is something that makes it have to be this way. There is something about the dynamics of love, about this whole dynamics of salvation. It's got to be this way, folks. It's got to be this way. We'll all go through our times. And Lord, help us to be able to resign ourselves to the will of God. Because we live in a time that we aren't challenged like many have been. When I look back and to see what people have done, it's such a great challenge to me. I'll be honest, I say, Lord, help me that I'd be able to do it. Lord, I don't know. Lord, help me. We don't face those same kind of things that of the stories of those in many ways has went through in the past. So help us, Lord, to not be offended by what you allow in life. I'm thinking also of a story I heard of a woman. It was a very beautiful young woman that got smallpox. Smallpox, and it just devastated her. She was a beautiful woman. Young woman. And those smallpox devastated her face. How would you handle that? And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. There was a story a couple years ago of a woman in one of the Middle Eastern countries. And some guys, because of religious things, had taken and thrown acid on her face and destroyed her face with acid. They were caught, prosecuted, and the law stated that they get the same thing. And they allowed the accuser to be the one to do it. But when it come time to do it, she said, I forgive you. I forgive you. Lord, help us that we're not offended of these things. Because the this and this will happen to every one of us. I was at a time in my life, one time, till I looked at my situation. I was approaching middle age. And my wife and my four little children. And life was perfect to me. I remember looking and saying, this is about as good as it can get. And as far as life goes, it's about as good as it can be right here. And little did I know that the very seeds was already planted that was going to totally destroy all that. I remember the times I said, Lord, I don't see this one. Lord, I don't understand you. Is it all right? It's human feelings. I actually would say things like, Lord, I know you're right. But I can't feel like you are. But it was the way I felt. How could it be right for a man? I was traveling around, attempting to do the will of the Lord, preaching and ministering, trying to do that. And in the midst of that, my wife gets sick of cancer. Then she dies and I have four little children. And there's no one can write that down and say, that's right, that's right. But that's a this. That's a this. Because I am human, I don't see it all. But in looking back, I begin to see as God let me see and look to see. And he said to me, will you serve me or won't you? I intend to serve you, Lord. I intend to serve you. Don't be offended in me. Do you want her to go to heaven? Yes, oh yeah, Lord. Well, I did. I did it. I struggle with this before. Maybe you have. What's the answer to look at multitudes of little children being abused and killed and those kinds? What's the answer to the heartache and trouble that's in our world? What's the answer to those things? I've looked at those and said, Lord, as others have. Lord, there's people that's saying there can't be a God because you're allowing this stuff to happen to innocent people. You know, I question. But you know, the Lord gave me an answer that satisfied me. And it come through a message that John Wesley preached. The title of it was Salvation Greater Than the Garden. And in that sermon, he explained how Adam and Eve only knew God as creator. It was the only thing he was to them, creator. But we know him as redeemer. And there is something about love that can only be proved. You know, many people say, get together, young people get together, they get married, they say, I love you, and this love will last forever. And they get through 6 or 8 months and they're gone. A love that lasts forever, that couldn't make it through the first. You know why? Because it wasn't tried. There was no fire put to it. There was nothing put to it to prove it. You can say anything or do anything. But there has to be something there that proves it, that builds it, that makes it. And once you explain it, and once you don't get offended, and you got your this is there, there's something created, and it's called a song like this. It's called something that touches people's lives, and something can move. You want a life that'll touch people? You got to go through the this. You got to go through something and not be offended and say, yes, Lord, you lead on. Lead me through these kind of problems. My loss is nothing. You're able. You're able. You're able to take it. You're able to give it back. Did Job want to serve God or no? He did. He did with all his heart. He did. Of his day, he was perfect in his heart, and he wanted to serve the Lord. And so when it was took from him, when everybody around him is saying, you've done something wrong, you should just curse God and die, none of that held anything for him. Because he loved the Lord. And he wasn't offended. Think of that. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. You know how many people get offended at the Lord? Well, I ain't going to serve a God like that. What if Job would say, I ain't serving a God like that. Look what he done to me. Look what he took from me. I ain't serving God that don't come to my rescue. John could have said it in prison. They're plotting against me. And I've done this work for you and depended on you to get me out of jail. And the Lord says, you tell him, I'm not coming. But you know, I think John had it too. I think all he needed was those first words. I think John had it. He needed a confirmation. I'm willing to die for you, Lord, but I need to know it's you. And as soon as he got that confirmation, I think he said, I've done my job. The forerunner of the Lord. I come and made the path straight. I come, I must decrease. He must increase. My time has come now, and now I can stretch. I'll stretch my neck out a little bit when the time comes. All I needed to know, this was you, Lord. All I needed to know is you. Lord, help us, because if we're not careful, we can be offended. When the Lord wants us, what do you know what He wants us to do? He wants us to accept His way. He's got a way that'll work. God's got a plan for you tonight. And in that plan, maybe, and he never promised otherwise, there may be some persecution in there. Hey, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. There may be some sickness. There may be some heartache. There may be problems all over. There may be all kinds of things designed for your life that hinders you. Oh, only at the flesh. That makes you dependent upon the Lord for sure. That makes you dependent upon the grace of God, for sure. Yes. That causes us to have more of the Lord. What it shows is, do you love me or don't you love me? Amazing.
Yes.
The problems bring it out. we're touched in our hearts by this song because we know who wrote it and how it got there. That's true. When there is adversity to bring it out, I like to tell this story. I never knew the man, but I admired him. Brother and Sister Baxter's little girls fell in the canal. One fell in the canal down there in Florida, down in Miami area. One of them fell into a canal, very deep canal. The other one jumped in to try to get the one that had fell in. Neither one of them could swim. There was a commotion, and one of the neighbor men, he came and ran, he dove in, he got one of the little girls out to safety, he went down to get the other one. He drowned, trying to get the other one, and she drowned. They both drowned. I don't know who this man was, couldn't tell you his name, but I hold an admiration for him to this day. And what brought that out was the trouble that was caused. There was something, and I said when I heard that, I'd say he's got children, I told somebody. I'd say that man had children. At the funeral, they said he had five. He left five children. It seemed like he would have had. Something was in there that gave all. He gave all. Does that touch you? It wasn't his children. He could have been still sitting with his feet kicked up in the recliner. What caused him to do it? No one caused him to do it. Maybe a instinct inside to defend, to help, to try to get them, to save them. I don't, what was it given? But the trouble will allow there to be something that touches our lives. It must be this way. It has to be this way. For us to really understand the value of God's love to us, we must go through the troubles to find it. The richness of Christ is in it. You understand it? The riches of Christ, we would never understand it and experience it if it wasn't that way. Brother Tinsley, many of you didn't know him. Sister Jeannie knew him. Brother and Sister Tinsley, when I first got saved, come around the saints, they was a part of the congregation in Greenbank. Brother and Sister Tinsley. That was a pitiful situation. Totally pitiful. Sister Tinsley took bedfast. I don't know how many years she was bedfast. It was a long time, wasn't it, Sister Jeannie? I don't know. For years she was bedfast. Wasn't really anything, I don't think, and nobody else really does anything really physically wrong with her. But you know that Brother Tinsley loved her. He just loved her. And she had a little bell or something she had rang, and he had sat waiting for that little, or maybe all day. And all his life consisted of was waiting for the little bell to ring. It was pathetic. But it was touching too. A man so devoted. That brought out such a deep devotion that challenged my life. A deep devotion to his wife. That in one essence robbed him of many of the pleasures of life. There wasn't really anything even wrong with her that he could have blamed and blamed. But he didn't. That I ever knew of. He never said it to me. He just went on loving her. He just loved her. And when I thought of these things, I about always think of him. That what devotion was brought out of that suffering? What devotion was brought out of his this? A devoted man. Do you really love God? Are you willing to show people that you really love the Lord? Are you willing to go through that and still have the Lord as your number one when you get through with the thises of life that comes in that challenges your life? I'm going to tell you, it takes a deep consecration to say, yes, Lord, my life I give to you. In any way you want to use it, you can use it. If you want to use it to martyrdom, oh Lord, I don't know that stuff. Do you know there was multi-thousands of saints of past ages that gave their life to martyrdom? You know it still happens in this earth today? We don't just know it here. There's countries still, they're still saying, I believe in Jesus and dying for it. But to give their life in so much faith that, yes, I believe, Lord, I believe. And they're not offended by the course that they have. but that the thing that they have, Lord, help us, because we'll face, in His mercy, we're going to face this. Oh, look at another scripture. It's where I got the verse from. I'm going to start with the 59th verse of the 6th chapter of John. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." 65 says, "And he said, therefore said unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Why? They were offended. Offended at what? He told them the truth? Yeah. They couldn't understand it? Yeah. A hard saying. Who can understand it? I don't know why they didn't walk with him the more. Was it, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood? Is that the words? I thank God for that eating his body, eating his flesh and drinking his blood. That's salvation. Is that what they, did they walk no more with him because of salvation? Or did they understand what it cost them? Was they offended at what they would really have to pay? Why is it that the world hates God? Why is it that they hated the Lord? Isn't it amazing? Give me one good reason for crucifying him. They didn't have one, so they had to make it up. The thief even said to the other thief, "We're murderers, we're thieves. We deserve this." But he even knew, this man is innocent. There's nothing that you could say about him. Oh, let's crucify him. He went around doing good. But the Lord knew there would be those that would be offended at him. Because men love darkness rather than light. Their deeds are evil. And they don't want to be uncovered. And they hate God. And they are offended by the things and the paths and the things that the Lord will do. The Lord allows places. He's got a plan for us. And in that plan is to bring us into His throne. To bring us to His glory. To bring us to His heaven. That's the plan. You know what He needs? What we need to do? Consecrate ourselves to Him no matter what the plan is. And I'm not talking too big for me. I say it in the fear of God right now. I don't know what my plan is. And when I say it fearfully because I want to have the grace to be able to do it. Because it isn't a light thing. It's a serious thing. John, you're going to have to, he said to John, "John, don't be offended by this. I ain't coming to get you. This is the end of your days. Get your head up. You've about to made it. You're about to get the glory, but I'm not coming to get you. Don't be offended by the path that I've chosen for you. They're going to take your head off, John." And it's not going to be a pretty thing at all. And you know what's going to be said? That proves he's no prophet. Now you know there was people that would have said, "Well, I thought he was a prophet." Well, I see. Elijah went up in a chariot, right? Yes. So, if you was a good prophet, you'd go up in a chariot. Good prophets shouldn't get their head cut off because God would be with them. No. Good prophets get their head handed to somebody on a platter. That's what good prophets do. Jesus confounded that when he spoke of John the Baptist. You know what he said of John the Baptist? What did you come out to see? A reed shaking in the wind. I love that scripture because there's a given there. They knew they didn't go out into the desert following him to see a reed shaken. They didn't go out there to see something that just blows with the wind and was unstable. They went out there because they knew God was with him. Now don't back up on me now, Jesus was saying. You know you didn't go out there to see a reed shaking in the wind. Nobody would. You went out there because you knew God was with this man and the power and the Spirit of God was with him. And he ain't no different now. You hang with him all the way now. Not be offended in the things that the Lord allows for our life. We might have to stretch our neck out in a sense too. We might have to lay some things down in a sense too. So he says to them, Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? What's your going away point? You got one? Now I know that everybody in here is going to say, not me. I don't have a going away point. But the experience of my life up to this point is that people go away. And if we could assemble this crowd 10 years from now, I wonder how many could be here. I know some will be departed in faith, hopefully. But I wonder if the old crowd would be here saying, I'm still just determined to go. More than likely, in this percentage of people, there wouldn't be that. There would be many that never thought they would, that they have their place, that they go away. Then there's offense. Offense happens. And it's always directed towards something else. It's always directed towards something else. But I remember Brother Tony saying to us years ago, when you're murmuring about situations, you're really murmuring about God. Because people don't determine them. It's God. You remember when David said, I think his captain said, I'm going to go take his head off. And David said, the Lord has said, curse David. Let him alone. The Lord has placed him in that position. Let him alone. God is saying that. God can bring things out in your life. Am I going to be offended? What's your place of offense? You have a place of offense? What if you perceive that the congregation isn't treating you right? You going to leave? I've always marveled at this. That would hurt. But I've always marveled at this. I've had people tell me that they wasn't serving the Lord because somebody said something about them. I'm going to tell you, I know people can be offended. The scripture talks about it. But that statement has always caused me to scratch my head. Because if you was to come up to me and say, Marty, you're ugly and you're stupid and I don't like you, I wouldn't go divorce my wife because you said that. And how can you say, I got this great working relationship with the Lord. He's blessed me with salvation, delivered me from a terrible life and all these things, and you offend me and I go away from the Lord? I mean, if I go away from you, I could understand that statement. But you go away from the Lord because somebody said something? What kind of a relationship do you have? How easily can you be offended when it might even be the Lord saying, curse him. Give him some trial here. Bring some thing on him. It may not be the Lord saying that, but allowing it. You know the language. The Lord may be opening up you for abuse that you get stronger and run to him stronger. Everything's about your experience. Oh, if we could just get this, folks. Your experience with the Lord personally is all it's about, really. That's really all it is about. We don't have a vicar. We don't have an intercessor from this earth. We got Jesus. And my relationship with him is the thing that we have. That's what I can't allow to be offended over. This world may come, it may go, it may challenge, it may persecute. I may lose all I have and all those things. But the one thing I can't afford to lose is that relationship with the Lord. So I can't be offended by that. And Jesus made it personal with John and said, offended in me. John, don't lose it in me. You can be offended at the king, okay. You can be offended at some people, okay. But don't lose it with me. You got to stay in there with me. Folks, you got to stay in there with the Lord. You can't get offended at the Lord because of the things that happened in this world. Because he's doing it right. He's doing it right. He knows what He's doing, and He can take us to higher levels. We can see things that we've never seen before. And it's been proven out and out in the Scriptures. What faithful person in the Scriptures didn't have the this? Now, if you go down to Babylon and you refuse, right, Brother Michael, you refuse to eat the king's meat and drink his wine, he'll prove himself. He did. Then, now what? He'll throw us in a furnace now over this image. You know, God always is going to come through. But that was the this. That was the this. You know what he stood up and done? I'm going to tell you, Meshach and Shadrach, Abednego, they wasn't reeds shaking in the wind. Because they stood up strong and said, we're not doing it. The only thing you can do is kill us. That's all you can do. And guess what? The Lord's made it so you can only do it once too. So you're not going to get enjoyment out of doing it over and over. You kill us, you set us free. But the Lord's going to deliver us. He did. Daniel's so faithful, and he gets up against, he's getting this. There he is being faithful, and all of a sudden they group him in with astrologers and evil and wicked men. One man among all these men, and he has to be grouped with it. I think I'd have wanted to run out of town. But there he was. That was his this. He could have easily said, Lord, why? No, I'm going to stay in there until I see God. Now, all he's doing is praying. All he's doing is being faithful to the Lord three times a day, every day, all the time, looking towards Jerusalem just like he's supposed to, praying to the Lord, being faithful. You'd think the Lord would just shuck him off from him. No, he's got a this. He's got to this. He's got to go through it. Now, you know what his this was? It wasn't in the lion's den. The this was the time that I say, do I obey this or do I pray? You know what I'm saying? We get into those places. There's where Daniel needed the same thing that John needed. Lord, I'm willing to throw that window open. I need to know it's you. I need to know it's you. My relationships held strong, Lord. You've helped me all the way, and I'm not about to give it up. Now, I don't know. Did he have to do it that way? Not everybody was doing it that way. I mean, I pray a lot just silently going down. I pray to the Lord sometimes just, you know what I'm saying? I mean, couldn't he have just backed off a little bit? Would it be acceptable? Not to him. Not to him. And the Lord allowed that whole scenario to come that we might have it. Folks, the things that we've gone through is the doings of God. And he said to them, folks, listen, this is the doings of God. Right here in a nutshell, I've laid you salvation and you're offended at it. Many of his disciples walk no more with him. Do you have a this that's too much for you? Do you have a companion that might do it, pull you away? Or you have a mother's influence that might pull you away? If people start ridiculing you too much about the way you dress, is that your this? Is that where you're offended away? Or if somebody's calling you fanatic, is that enough to do it? People have this, a lot of this. I'm going to finish this scripture. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yeah? Me too. I believe. Yes. I believe that there is one way. I believe there's one way to heaven. I believe sometimes it gets straight and narrow. Well, it's always straight and narrow. But I tell you, sometimes it gets real straight. It gets real narrow and it gets hard to pass through. And all these things that may come. Lord, help us through them. Yes. Take us through them and help us to see you. Yes, Lord. You want to see the Lord? I remember one time, if you was going to see, you'd have had to jump in the furnace. They didn't see him outside of it. Did anybody ever say, hey, the Son of Man was walking around here and he got it? It was in the furnace. And there's an old song I kind of liked it. They were telling them, I think we heard it somewhere. They were singing the song, and the song was about the mothers talking with their children or whatever, and the children asked, what happened to him? Now, the three Hebrew children got out of there. But where is the fourth man? Well, Mama says, he's still on fire. He's still in there. He's in our fire. You want a good experience with the Lord? You long for a close walk with the Lord? You want to see more of the Lord? You want more power in your life? Here's where it comes. It's going to come through these places. Don't be offended. Does this offend you? Lord, help us that it don't. I'm going to close with this song. I'm not going to sing. I'm just going to read the verses. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. And the Lord has the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as the scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. You pray for me. Yes.